welcome to this week's Inside Education. Our website is insideed.com, where you can listen to or download podcasts of all previous Inside Education programmes. I'm Sean Delaney and I'll be your host for the next 30 minutes or so. On this week's programme, we preview two important conferences on the education calendar. One is the conference of the Irish Primary PE Association, or the IPPEA, and the other is the Computer Education Society of Ireland, or CESI. Coincidentally, both of them are celebrating important birthdays this year. The IPPEA is 10 years old, and life begins again for CESI as it celebrates its first 40 years. Later in the programme, I'll be speaking to Anne McMorrow about CESI. But first I spoke to Katrina Cosgrave, who is a committee member and former chairperson of the IPPEA. Katrina is an experienced teacher educator and primary teacher, and she currently teaches in Knockline Junior School. She first told me when the IPPEA conference is on this year.
This year's conference takes place in St Patrick's College in Drumcondra on Saturday the 2nd of March, and it starts at 9 o'clock in the morning and finishes just at 4 o'clock in the afternoon.
What are the highlights of it, Katrina?
Well, for us as an association, I guess our biggest highlight this year would be the fact that it's our 10th annual conference. So we're a decade running now, and we're very excited about that. And as a result, we've invited a lot of the people who initiated the organisation back to both give keynotes and present practical workshops. So it's nice to see how the association has grown. Our focus, our theme this year for the conference is let's get moving and physical activity as a central theme. So a lot of our workshops would be based around areas of physical activity, flexibility, posture, conditioning and fun strength with children in the primary school.
It's interesting, posture and flexibility. I wouldn't have thought that they would have been things you'd be working on in primary PE.
Well, within primary PE, you're giving a breadth of activities, and those elements would be included in many of the activities, most notably in dance and in gymnastics, but they're also visible in athletics and games as well. So we would have that kind of focus. And one of our workshops, which is always something that has gone on down very well in our local communities of practice, is yoga in the classroom and how to incorporate that yoga practices both within PE lessons and during the school day.
And Katrina, you have a well-known figure nationally opening the conference for you this year.
Yes, we're delighted that we have Mr. John Tracy from the Irish Sports Council giving the welcome and opening address on the day, which is important for us because the Irish Sports Council were very involved during our first conference back in 2003. So we're delighted to have John Tracy opening our conference for us and perhaps giving us some words of wisdom on our way forward for the future of the association.
And your keynote speakers then are?
Well, we have asked, we've invited Francis Murphy and Mairead Weems, who were two of the original founder members of the association who instigated the first conference. And we have asked them to focus on where the association has come from, where they see it now and where they see it going in the future.
And who would you expect to attend the conference, Katrina?
Well, our main attendees would be our primary school teachers. The association was set up for primary school teachers to support them in their teaching of physical education. So we would envisage that we will mainly have classroom generalist primary school teachers, and we will have other guests also on the day.
And the theme is Let's Get Moving. Mm-hmm. Why did you choose that theme this year?
Well, we feel at the moment, in particular in relation to the media, etc., there is a lot of emphasis on the importance of physical activity and, in inverted commas, the word fitness, children's fitness. And so we felt that we wanted to see how physical education in the primary school and physical activity in the primary school could address this whole concept of getting children moving more during their daily lives. This concept is being promoted quite a bit in the media at the moment. So we wanted to capitalise on that and show how PE can contribute to this movement principle.
And apart from the topics you've already mentioned, what other topics will people hear about on the day?
We'll be looking at the Be Active After School Activity Programme, which is an extracurricular physical activity programme. We'll be looking at how you develop physical activity through school sports after school, so both within the PE setting during class time and outside of school time. We'll be looking at the strands of the PE curriculum and various activities, athletics, games, gymnastics. And one very exciting one for this year is an urban trail run, which is using apps, every trail apps for children, and pedometers, and how you might use those with senior aged primary school children, which is a new venture for us, which promises to be a very exciting workshop.
You've kind of anticipated my next question now, which was going to be how much of this is going to be sitting and listening, and how much is going to be actually the teachers themselves moving on the day?
Well, we always feel that as a PE association, it's probably best to have teachers moving, and generally the teachers who come to our conferences like to have the practical side of workshops. However, it is generally balanced with a theory overview within each workshop and supported by relevant theoretical notes and background statements on the practical ideas. So it's a balance between both, but would err on the side more of practical rather than theoretical.
So bring your tracksuit.
Absolutely, and your runners. Yep, dressed to impress.
You're teaching first class yourself this year, Katrina. What kind of things do first class like doing in PE?
Most children in first and second class would be doing a range. My children at the moment, for example, would have engaged in games, gymnastics, and now heading into coming up to Easter and St. Patrick's Day, we'd be looking at dance, both Irish folk dance and dance from other countries, and creative dance also. So really, I guess, for 6 and 7 year olds, that breadth of curriculum is vital, and they're at that prime age for promotion of that area.
And if you go to the organisation's website, what kind of resources are there for members or for teachers in general?
Well, our website is www.irishprimarype.com, and on there for non-members you will find some useful teaching tips. We have our homepage would be dedicated to, you know, current issues that would be happening, obviously our conference at the moment and other areas that are topical. We also have policy documents relating to how to promote flexibility, strength and endurance, which are our new policy documents at the moment, available to non-members. If you become a member, which is very reasonable, it's only €10 per annum, we have a members area whereby all our notes from our regional communities of practice, which are around the country supported by the PDST and the local education centres, we have notes on all of those workshops available in the members area. So if you become a member, you have access to all of those notes as well.
The organisation, as you say, is 10 years old this year. What are the main achievements over the last 10 years?
In the initial stages, I guess, what we were tried to achieve was to heighten awareness amongst primary school teachers of the importance of physical education and physical activity, and to support them in that, particularly with the new curriculum at the time in 1999 being rolled out, you know, how would they be best supported in their role? And because of that, then we set up professional development opportunities through communities of practice. So that would be one of our major achievements. Regionally, we would have communities of practice running throughout the year in conjunction now with the PDST, and that has been very successful. Our website, we have quite an active website and members area with teaching tips, etc. So that would have been something that we would have worked on extensively over the years. In terms of research and policy formation, we're hoping to, and we have been influencing, we hope, policy in the area relating to children's physical activity and health, and keeping the focus on the education side of physical education and physical activity, and in that way perhaps lobbying various people involved in media and wider society, and heightening their awareness of our existence and the importance of the primary school teacher and their role in teaching physical education.
And if you want to do one final plug for the conference, the venue is?
St. Patrick's College of Education in Drumcondra in Dublin 9, and it starts at 9 a.m. You can register in advance. We anticipate that our workshops will be very busy, so you can actually register online through our website and pay for it online to be guaranteed a place in your chosen workshop. You can register on the day, but we don't recommend it because we tend to be booked out and you may not get your workshop of preference.
So book early for that conference is the message from Katrina Cosgrave of the IPPEA. You're listening to Inside Education on 103.2 Dublin City FM. Podcasts of previous programmes can be downloaded from iTunes or from our website insideed.com. This week, we're previewing two conferences that will be happening shortly. We've just heard about the conference of the IPPEA from Katrina Cosgrave. Next, we hear from Anne McMurrow about the annual conference of the Computer Education Society of Ireland. Anne McMurrow is a primary school teacher currently secondant to Merino Institute of Education, where she is lecturing in ICT. She is an ambassador for e-twinning and a member of the national executive of SESI. Anne began by giving us some of the practical details for this year's SESI conference.
This year's SESI conference is a very special one because it is the 40th anniversary of SESI, and the theme this year is SESI 4.0, Back to Our Future. And we, in association with that theme then, we're actually going back to Galway for our conference because that's where SESI began. And we're going to the GMIT venue, which is also celebrating 40 years, and it's a lovely venue for a number of reasons. One of the reasons is that it has a kind of a pod-style space. So while we have a huge variety of presentations and workshops for teachers of all levels, from primary, secondary and third level, we think that this will give a great opportunity not just to only visit those presentations, but to continue on the conversations afterwards in a very informal and friendly way.
That's one of the interesting things, I think, about SESI, the fact that it covers not just primary education, but also post-primary and third level.
Yeah, I think so, because I suppose sometimes when people look at technology, they see it from their own perspective, but it's actually lovely to be able to chat to teachers from, if say, for example, I'm a primary school teacher, to be able to chat to a teacher who's teaching at second level and get insights from a different perspective. For example, a couple of years ago, I did a project that involved working with a post-primary school and a primary school and linking them up using technology in an interesting way to create stories.
The conference, Anne, takes place on Friday the 22nd and Saturday the 23rd of February. If we take the Friday first, what will be going on that day?
Okay, the Friday night is what we call a SESI meet, and it's a very informal evening. It runs from about 7:30 to quite late. And what it involves is a number of teachers who come along and maybe stand up for 3 minutes or 5 minutes or 7 minutes and give a very short little presentation on maybe one little piece of technology that they're using in a classroom. And then at one point in the night, we have what's called a soapbox. So we allow the gathering to move around the room and sit in on a conversation that's happening on a topical issue to do with ICT. We will have spot prizes, and we'll have a couple of other surprises on the night as well. But it's a great opportunity for teachers to come along and, again, informally have a chat and see what's happening in schools in with regards to using ICT.
And on the Saturday then, that's the full day.
Yeah, the Saturday is going to be a very, very full day because it starts quite early in the morning. So we'd advise people actually to come along quite early, say about 8:30, and register. And then from then right through to about 4:30, 5 o'clock, we're going to have a huge variety of presentations and workshops. And we're also going to have two very interesting keynote speakers who will be, you know, talking about the use of technology in education. But maybe they might, I think they're going to challenge us in a very unusual way to think about different ways that we might use technology and even our perspective on technology and how it's used in primary, secondary and third level.
Who are the keynote speakers this year, Anne?
The keynote speakers are John Nocton, who's an Irishman, and Dan Meyer, who is an American. There's some details up on our website, which is sesi.ie, and there's some information up there about those keynote speakers.
And what's your own involvement in SESI?
I've been involved in SESI for the last number of years, I think about 5 years, and I got involved really out of my pure passion for using technology in the classroom. I used to attend the conferences, and then I decided that I would consider maybe looking into joining the executive. And my role on the executive then is to promote the use of ICT in education and also become involved in the organisation of events such as the SESI meet and the conference. But I think
The role has evolved over the last number of years, so it hasn't been just from an administrative point of view, but it's been a huge opportunity to network with teachers from around the country and outside the country as well, through connections that we have, our online presence, and through Twitter and so on.
And I wonder, can you tell me a little bit about the kind of workshops that will be on the Saturday this year?
Okay, well, we're going to have 8 workshops, and we're going to, for example, one of them is going to be on mobile technologies. There's going to be another one on the use of gaming technologies, the use of support for teaching and learning with regards to ICT. And the workshops are very much an opportunity to allow teachers to come in and try out new things that they might not have had a chance to do in the past. They're very, very informal and friendly. You can bring your own devices along, or the facilities at the GMIT are absolutely outstanding. So there'll be a lot of facilities there that teachers can use. In addition to that, then, there is a number of presentations, I think about 33 presentations. They'd be a little bit shorter, so teachers will be standing up and maybe sharing a story that they've had using some element of technology in their classes. But because they're quite informal, people will have an opportunity to ask questions and, you know, make contacts and have a chat and maybe extend the conversations then afterwards in the pod area.
You have a workshop yourself. What's that about?
Okay, this year I'm sharing a workshop slot with another teacher called Porrig O'Duffy. And Porrig is a secondary school teacher and I am a primary school teacher, although this year I'm teaching at teacher education level in Merino Institute of Education. And our workshop is on the use of iPods in the classroom. Now, you might think iPods are maybe a little bit challenging to use in a classroom because they're quite small, but actually they're really, really creative. They're a great tool to enhance children's learning in a whole load of different ways and a whole load of creative ways. So Porrig is going to be looking at how he used them in a secondary school, a Gael school down in Kerry, and I'm going to be sharing a story of how I use them in my own primary school in Talla.
Now, my understanding of iPods is that they're all about listening to music. So obviously they're a little bit more than that. So can you say a bit about what an iPod is and what it can do now?
Okay, an iPod can do an awful lot, Sean. Basically, it's a very small handheld device that enables the use of music, as you say, but it also acts as a camera, a video camera. But one of the key things that we've looked at with the iPod is the use of apps. So in particular, apps to enhance children's learning in an educational setting. So some of the apps that I've used, one or two of them I'm going to talk about at the conference, but and Porrig as well. And one of the ones that we've used that is common to both of our settings is one that's one of my favourite ones, actually. It's called I Can Animate. So just to give you an example of how it's used, basically children, if they've created a story either orally or in written form, they can create then to back up their story a little mini stage, and then they make little Morla figures or Lego figures, and using the iPod, they place the figures, take a photograph, move the figure, take a photograph, and they repeat this process over a number of times. And the app actually combines the photographs and then makes a very small movie. So it's called stop motion animation. And the children or the older students absolutely love this particular app because it not only brings their stories to life, but it gives them a really engaging, interactive way of using the technology. But I think the important thing about that, for an example, is that the technology is only there to support the learning, that the actual focus is on the process and the content that's being covered from the curriculum.
And if you're to link it back to the curriculum, how would you connect, because technology doesn't appear as a subject on the curriculum, so how would an activity such as that one be related back to the curriculum?
Okay, well, the way I did it when I was using it in a classroom was in a cross-curricular way, actually. And what I did was it was part of a broader project that I was using with the children. So, for example, this was one thread that I ran through the project, and using another app called Rory Story Cubes, I brainstormed a couple of ideas so that the children would get ideas for creating a story that linked in directly to literacy. Then the next element was using a mind mapping tool so that the children got an opportunity to get their ideas down on the iPod using this particular app called Simple Mind. And then the third element was to get the children to create a story, not on paper, funnily enough, but on the actual iPod using another app called eBook Creator. And then the final part of the story, which also tapped into local history and geography and science as well, was to create these little models which tapped into art and drama, and then for the children to create this 3D animation using the iPod to help them to record. So it was fascinating, and I have to say, of all my years teaching in the primary school, it's my most memorable day, the day that I introduced this whole process to the children, because they were so completely engaged in it.
But did every child have to have an iPod, or was that very expensive?
Okay, well, for this particular activity, not every child required an iPod, because I set them up so that they worked in groups. But what we had at our disposal, very luckily for us, was the use of 30 iPods for 3 months, about a year or so ago when I was in the primary school. Now, these are iPods that SESI have invested in, and they're currently part of a research project that SESI is running, and they have visited, for want of a better word, a number of school settings, so 2 primary schools and 2 secondary schools, and the results of the research will be available soon, and then I think that the plan is that they'll be rolled out to schools on a broader basis, so that really what we're trying to get at is SESI is at the cutting edge of technology usage in education, so we were quite anxious to be well informed about how mobile technologies are being used in education, so that we could maybe help other teachers and, you know, share our story over time.
And where can teachers get other ideas about using iPods in their classrooms?
Well, there are a number of places. The first one I would suggest is the actual SESI website, because there are a number of what we call DigiTeach articles up there. So teachers have shared their story by writing articles which have been uploaded by our webmaster. Another place that I have found to be invaluable for gathering resources or sharing resources as well is Twitter, believe it or not. And that reminds me that the hashtag for the conference is CESI40, CESI40. So we'll have a rolling stream of Twitter updates on the conference over the Friday night and the Saturday.
I presume that's CESI40.
40. Yeah, that's it. Sorry, Sean. So, and also that reminds me that we're hoping to stream the keynote presentations as well, which is another way, if somebody can't make it to the conference for all of it or part of it, then they can still tap into what the conversation is about.
Apart from the mobile technologies, Anne, as you said, this year you're working as a teacher educator, last year you were working in a primary school. What class did you have then?
Last year I had 6th class.
And what kind of things did you do with them using technology?
Anything that I could think of, basically, Sean. What I like to do with children is to try and create a more collaborative atmosphere in the classroom so that it's a two-way process. I'm learning from them and they're learning from me.
What kind of equipment did you have at your disposal in the room?
We had one laptop. We had an interactive whiteboard. We had a printer with a scanner and the digital projector, and that was pretty much it. In addition to that, then I would have picked up things like a microphone, but they're easy to pick up, or maybe a camera. We had a camera in the school that would, you know, float around from class to class, or a little small video camera that would float around from class to class. But I think one of the important things about the technology was that all the time we tried to get the children to think about the actual, what their activities were rather than what the technology was.
Can you think of any examples of things you did?
Well, loads of different examples come to mind, but I suppose one that really stands out is the use of project work. So I would be quite involved in working in with e-twinning. I'm not sure if the listeners have heard about e-twinning, but it's available to all teachers across Europe, and it's available at etwinning.net. And it's a framework for connecting classes across Europe using the very smallest amount of technology to support the learning. So, for example, a project that I would have done with a younger group of children a few years earlier was where we had a Teddy in Dublin and we had a Teddy in Newcastle, and the two Teddies were, their project was built around a story, and because our amount of technology at the time was quite limited, and also my knowledge of technology and using it in a classroom was quite limited at the time, we simply exchanged the learning between the two classes just using email. So, but it was very, very effective. And then as we developed our range of technology, we would photograph the children's work and then we would add that as an attachment and we would exchange through email. And bit by bit, we gradually evolved our usage and our interest in technology.
And anything else, anything in particular stand out for the older class?
Well, one other project apart from the iPods was the opportunity that we had last year to build in a virtual world. Now, that might sound way out, but it was actually a fascinating project. It was part of a pilot program that was run by a non-profit organization called Mission V, and James Corbett and Margaret Keane were the organizers behind this project. And basically, it gave the children an opportunity with no cost whatsoever to us, where they were given a logon and they were given access to an island. And they each had an individual avatar and they had to build on this island, again, under a curriculum theme. And the theme was Science Week and the chemistry of life. And they were absolutely fascinated. Now, the technology itself, what they had at their disposal was quite simple, but what they actually created was really, really incredibly interesting.
So a reminder, and for anyone who's interested in going along to the conference, how can they find out more?
The best way to find out more information is to visit the website. So it's www.cesi.ie, and that stands for the Computers in Education Society of Ireland. And on the front page, then we have a link directly to the conference details. So it'll give information about the keynote speakers, about some of the workshops, the presentations, the cost of the conference, which for this year we have a special price. It's €40 for the Saturday, and that includes lunch. But if you're a student or unwaged, then we have a special rate of €20. Unfortunately, the SESI meet for the Friday night is booked out for if you're still looking to come along, unfortunately for you. But if you are interested, then there is a waiting list and you can put your name down for that. And also to tap into Twitter. So the hashtag again is SESI40, and you can keep up to date with the proceedings. You know, even if you haven't had a great experience with technology or you're a little bit nervous using it, it's such a friendly place and it's such a friendly gathering that it's a great opportunity to share your story with somebody else or hear somebody else's story and then maybe take away a couple of ideas from it and try them out. And for me, that's been the experience, and I know for a lot of people that I've spoken to, that's been the experience of the SESI conference and the SESI meet. And I've yet to go to one of the conferences or the meets and come away with no ideas. I usually come away with a head full of ideas, and even if I try one or two of them myself, then I think I've really learned something.
A high recommendation there for the SESI conference from Anne McMurrow. Well, that's it for this week's Inside Education. You can listen to podcasts of previous programmes on InsideEd.com or on iTunes. You can email us at InsideEducation@DublinCityFM.ie. That's InsideEducation@DublinCityFM.ie. Thanks to my guests this week, Katrina Cosgrave and Anne McMurrow. Until the same time next week, this is Sean Delaney signing off. Thank you for listening.